All right, let's go back again to 2 Peter chapter 1. This here's there's just more and more to it. I thought, well, I'm about done with this, but I'm not at all. So we got to go back and look at it again. We're going to read these same verses again, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Won't you stand? Yeah, we didn't stand while we took off, and everybody's been sitting, and you'll be, if you can, stand, please. All right. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right, let's pray. Father, we pray your word would have free course this morning. I pray that every heart would be sober and attentive to the Word of God. And I pray there'd be, Lord, a carrying out of the things that are heard, that there would be an application in the life of what we hear today. Help us, Lord, to get it, not just understand the principles, not just know the order, but to put them to work. First, to look at ourselves and do diligence to see if this is really true in our life. And if it's not, then to start seeking after these things in our life. Help us, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, you bless your word and guide my thoughts and my mouth in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can be seated. All right, now, the Christian life is made beautiful through fruitfulness. Now, you think about it. Just as plants and flowers and trees, when we think of fruit, that's what we think of. That was the first mention in the Bible of it. You know, God made the tree bearing fruit, you know, seed in the fruit, and the herb bearing seed. Everything was producing fruit, producing seed. And that's the completion of a life. And it's the adornment of a life. Y'all listening to me? Very important stuff here this morning. They're made beautiful. I mean, a tree is just a tree, but it's different when there's fruit on it. There's no real good other than just, something pleasant to the eyes, maybe. We've always had this discussion at our house. You know, women like to have plants and plants in the yard and stuff like that. And to me, flowers and plants are two different things. Flowers have flowers on them. And flowers are not green. They're colored. They're red and white and yellow and purple and, you know, all those colors. Isn't that right? I mean, what would you rather look at? Green? You can look at the woods. They're green. All the trees have green leaves on them. The grass is green. How about flowers in the yard that are colorful and brighten up the place? And I don't understand, because women love colors so much. Why not have flowers? I think you ought to have flowers. You can have flowers in your yard in the winter that have color in them. I've seen people do it. There's certain kind of flowers, pansies and stuff, that grow in the cold and have color. Well, it's that way with a Christian life. It's just another life. Unless there's something adorning it, something produced from it. More than just the blah, blah, same as everybody else, same as everything. Fruit. That's what it is. Everything like that, the flowers, the trees, are made beautiful and complete by their blossom, the flower, and their fruit. And a Christian life and a testimony is made beautiful the same way, by the fruit. Now, you with me so far? Yeah. Christian life ought to bear fruit. Christian life will bear fruit. That's right. It is the crown of the complete and healthy development of the divine life in us. Now, if it's no more I that live, but Christ that liveth in me, if that's the life that I now live, then there'll be some fruit from it. And if Christ is really living in me, His life's going to bear fruit. There's going to be fruit. It's the completion. Fruit is the completion. And it's the crown of His life living in me. There'll be fruit. God did not remove us from the wild wilderness out here in this world and barren wilderness and plant us in His garden just to enjoy the sunshine and the dew and the rain and the gentle breezes until we die. He took us to Himself and He works in our life that we might bear fruit. Now that's the goal. Everybody's focused on going to heaven when we die, going to heaven when we die. That's not God's goal. That wasn't His goal in saving us. His goal, His purpose in our life, His working in our life is about our being fruitful and as a Christian. And all this is about here. If you have these things, it'll cause you, it'll make you not to be barren or unfruitful, but it'll make you bear fruit. And if you don't have these things, you are blind and cannot see afar off. And you don't have anything. So it's pretty plain. Fruit's important. Fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. He said in John chapter 15, and I'm not going to read it all, but I mean, there were some stern verses in here about fruit and everything. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. What does that mean? I've preached on that verse quite a few times. Purging means pruning. You see them prune trees and grapevines and stuff. They cut them back till you think they've ruined them. When you see a tree, a fruit tree, you see a grapevine cut back like they're doing now in the wintertime, you think, well, that thing, it's dead. It'll never do anything. They've cut all the limbs off of it. No, it makes it bear much fruit. God's about fruitfulness. Not just, you don't plant a grapevine and get one grape off of it and say, well, that's a fruitful vine. It's not a fruitful vine, is it? It's unfruitful. Not barren, but unfruitful. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. John chapter 15, verse 8, Jesus said that. That's, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. And that's how you be my disciples. So shall ye be my disciples. Being barren or unfruitful shows forth our unbelief and disobedience to God. In John chapter 15 again, verses 4 and 5, He said this. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. My Father is the husbandman. He explained it all on the beginning there. What are we? Y'all ain't listening. Branches. He's the vine. Now, if the branch is cut off from the vine, if there's no communication, if there's no flow between the vine and the branch ain't going to bear no fruit. If the branch is not getting its sustenance and its life from the vine, if there's a barrier, if there's a cut, then there ain't going to be no fruit. That's the cause of barrenness. An unfruitfulness in the life of somebody who professes to be a Christian. They're not abiding in Christ. They're not connected to Him. They're drawing from somewhere else to keep themselves going. The world. Yeah. Your life has to come from Him. And when you're connected with Him that way, you will be fruitful. There will be fruit there. Because everything that it takes to make the fruit comes from Him. It's not a thing that we do. It's a thing that happens because we draw our life from Him. So you see how the thing works. It's not a burden that we carry. It's not a yoke that we bear. It's not something that we're just forced to do. It's not laborious and hard for us to bear fruit. What does it amount to? Abiding in Christ, being faithful to God. Drawing our life from Him. Not from the world. Walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh. It's two different worlds. It's two different things. It's two different sources of life and animation. Obviously, it shows that we may talk a good talk and make others believe we're a Christian, but the absence of fruit says otherwise in the sight of God. Jesus made it real clear about this matter. Fruit tells on you. He said about those false prophets, how will you know them? How can you know a false prophet? He said, by their fruits shall you know them. And he went on and explained that about certain kind of fruit. Figs don't bear something that's not a fig. And if it's a briar, it's going to bear briars. If it's a fig tree, it'll bear figs. Everything produces after its kind. And you expect to find good fruit on a good tree. An evil tree will bear evil fruit. That's the way it is. It's always that way. It's fixed in God's creation and order and kingdom. And it's that way with us. When you sit in a church, and or any kind of church, whatever it is, you're known by your fruit. And I don't care how many times they say, judge not. Jesus said, you know them by their fruit. Look at their fruit. That tells you who they are. Tells you what they are. So barren and unfruitful, that doesn't express the same idea. Barren is like a field, a fallow field that yields nothing. Nothing. I mean, a field that's just lays there. You can't go out there and harvest anything out of that field because what's going to grow in that field? Weeds. That's it. Weeds and briars and thorns. You ain't going to get nothing out of it. That's barrenness. Barren is like a fallow field, yields nothing. Unfruitful is like the field that was planted and sowed and brought forth very little. That's unfruitful. Fruitful, you expect a bountiful harvest, don't you? The farmer ain't shooting to just get his seed back. That ain't why he farms. That ain't why we garden. That ain't why we plant anything. We don't expect, our goal is not to just get our seed and maybe just a little more. No, we ain't in this to break even. We're in this to be profitable. If you just do what's your duty to do, you can say this about yourself. The Bible says, I'm an unprofitable servant. If you just do what you're supposed to do, you ain't gained nothing for nobody. You're an unprofitable servant. And we're an unfruitful Christian if all we do is exist. Fruit represents gain, you see. There's something there that wasn't there. But the playing out of a life has brought it forth from what appears to be nowhere. Fruit comes from nowhere, apparently. It's the result of a life. We can't figure out how it's all put together. I mean, we can see all the things that it had to come from right there. But what put it together and produced it? The life. It's a miracle of life. Barrenness is starting with nothing and ending with nothing. While at the same time drinking in all the necessary ingredients of life and fruit. Barren means you got everything you need to produce fruit, but you don't produce no fruit. It's all there, but there's nothing comes of it. Because there's no life there. You think about that. That fits everywhere. A barren womb. You know, we read that a lot in the Bible. Everything that word fits, you see. It's having everything available but not producing anything. What are people that sit in a church that are barren? I mean, when you assess their life when it's over. And it's barren. They sat in church and listened to preaching all their life. They had a Bible and they read it and they participated in everything. They had everything, all the ingredients that they needed to have a fruitful life, but they were barren. What does that say? No life there. No life there at all. Now there's some that bear fruit, but so little that it doesn't increase anything. That's better than being barren, but it's still unfruitful. And isn't that what the thing is here? God's not looking for that, is he? No, he's not looking for that. What about the guy that had the pound? We read about it the other day here. He had the 1 pound. He went and hid it in the earth so that when the Lord come back, at least he'd have his own. How was the Lord's opinion about him? How'd the Lord treat him? Well, yeah, he's unprofitable. He called him wicked. Why didn't you just put it in the bank at least so I'd at least have mine with usury when I come back? Any kind of increase, that would have been better than nothing. Just barely holding on to what you got, that's not fruitfulness. No. No, that's really barrenness, ending up with the same thing you started with. It's barren. And so he ended up cast out. It's kind of like the same thing Jesus is talking about. The branch that don't bear fruit, he taketh away. Any branch in me that beareth not fruit, he, the Father, takes it away. And then he talks about he burns them. So, an unfruitful Christian is one whose life has little or no Godward influence on others. Now, it's a man's words, and I'm saying man, but it applies to everybody, a person. I should say it's a person's words, works, and influence that we find the fruit of a Christian life. You hear me? That's where we find it. In the words, in the works, and in the influence of our life. That's where we find the fruit. That's where we see the fruit. That's where the fruit appears. The fruit of a Christian life is not emotions and feelings and experiences. It's not speaking in tongues, and it's not being healed from a disease. That's not the fruit of a Christian life. The fruit of a Christian life is it's in our words. The words we speak, the way we speak them. It's in our works. It's not what we say, but what we do. And it's in the influence that we have over other people. It's by what a man does that it becomes known what he is. It is by what a man does that it becomes known what he is. Now, we can profess with our mouth, and we can say it all we want to, but it's just like in Israel, they profess that they know me, they love me with their mouth, but their heart's far from me. And that don't count. You know, anybody can say, I love you, while they're sticking a knife in your back. That ain't the way it is. It's what you do. That's what tells what you are. And it's the sum of your life. Y'all listening to me? Everybody, it's amazing to me how people are so simple in their minds, or so confused, so trapped in their minds, whatever, that they can't see this. Everybody's going to have lack in some of these things at times in your life. Now, especially in the beginning of your Christian life. But as you grow, I mean, this is about spiritual growth we're talking about, growing in grace. And after you've been a Christian for a few years, there will be some improvement, or we're going to have to conclude. And you say, I don't care what you think. Well, I'm telling you what the Bible says and what it teaches us here. That after a time, we don't expect fruit from a tree the first year it's planted. There was a tree that was unfruitful, and the owner said, I'm going to cut it down. It's cumbering the ground. But somebody come along and said, well, let me just try a little longer. Let me dig around it and dung it, fertilize it. Let's give it a chance here. And gave it some more time. And then after so much time, if it still didn't bear fruit, then cut it down. That was the story, see? So we ought to be that way with other Christians too. Give some time. I mean, so what? They messed up. They didn't show virtue. They didn't show knowledge. They didn't show temperance. They didn't show patience. They didn't show godliness. They didn't show brotherly love or brotherly kindness or love. Any of those things, anytime. Well, just wait. Don't check them off the list just because it happened one time. If it's the style of their life and it doesn't change, then you can begin to think, well, something wrong here. The fruit proceeds from the tree. But it's distinct from the tree. An apple on an apple tree. You can eat that apple, but you eat the bark, it don't taste like the apple. You know, everybody, they burn the wood and chip it up, you know, and make it into, so you can smoke meat with it and say, no, it's so good, but it don't taste like apple. The tree is not the apple. The apple is the fruit of the tree. It's something different, something separate. It's formed by the tree from the juices that circulate through the root and the stem and the branch. That's where that apple comes from. There ain't going to be no apple if the branches aren't connected to the trunk of the tree, which is connected to the root of the tree, which is drawn from the soil all the things that it takes to make an apple. Ain't it something how God made everything? And all the plants and trees and the different kinds, there's just all different kinds of fruits. I mean, there's lemons and oranges and grapefruits and apples and peaches and pears and plums and on and cherries. And they all grow on these trees and they grow in the same dirt. And they all reach down in the dirt, the same dirt, and make different fruit like that. God made it that way. That man ain't never done no such a thing. They think they're so smart making robots and everything. And good night. They can't even begin to make a simple little tree with a root and a trunk and a limb and a leaf. And then it makes these fruits. The air and the light and the water and the elements of the soil, they supply the materials. But the life in the tree takes these to itself and forms something that's altogether new, a thing, a fruit. It's different. It's new. That walnut tree over there in that yard dropped a bunch of walnuts in the yard. Somebody's got to pick them up some of these days before we try to mow that yard. But anyway, those are walnuts. Last year, there was a bunch that fell on. They were different walnuts. These are more. Next year, there'll be more. Whatever tree you go to look at, it's the same deal. The fruit, I mean, it's new fruit. It's more fruit. It's not the same stuff over and over again. It's more, more, more. A lot of people think that if they've done one good thing in their life, if they've accomplished one big goal in their life or made some impression on somebody in their Christian life, that boy, that counts for everything. No, it don't. We ought to be continually producing fruit. Even in heaven, there's going to be fruit on those trees. Every month, the way I read it, going to be fruit. It's not a one-time thing. It's not something that we just, it's a burst of, and here it is. I produced fruit. I'm fruitful. No. If it's just a one-time thing and it don't keep going, the speaks of no life. And so every person who rightly fills his place in God's vineyard will not be a consumer only, but it'll be a producer also. That tree drinks in the air and the light and the moisture and the elements of the soil and all of that. But it produces fruit. And if it don't, we don't want that tree no more. If we got a tree that's just barren and unfruitful, if it just has a little bit on it, we'll cut that thing down, plant another tree that'll bear more fruit. We look for trees that are fruitful. We look for plants that are fruitful. When you go to plant your tomatoes next spring, are you going to buy the scrawniest, most sparsely, I mean, you want a tomato plant, it makes one tomato a year. After you plant it and doctor it and take care of it and guard it and watch it, and you get one tomato off of it. You don't want no more of them tomato plants, do you? No, you want one that's going to have bunches of them and good ones too. You don't want them old warty, nasty looking things. You want good ones. And so you're looking all the time. You seek them out and you search for the best. Well, you think God's any different? You think God's kingdom ought to operate any different than that? No, it ought to operate much better than that. We ought to be fruitful, and we will be fruitful if we add these to our faith. We're told that right here very plainly. I'm telling you, every person who's rightly filling his place in God's vineyard is going to be a producer, not just a consumer. They're not going to be a bench warmer at church. They're not going to be a nobody who never adds anything. The world is going to be a better place because you lived here and you knew Christ and you were led by the Spirit of God. The world is going to be a better place. Mercy. What if all there was in the history of this world was Adam and Eve's fall and the rest of, and all of the world from then on were just wretched sinners who never repented and who never bore any fruit? Where would we be? And what kind of world would it be? What keeps us going is the fruit that has been born in the lives of God's people through all of these millennia since that happened. Oh, yeah. Think about it. What a blessing it is. And we still taste of the fruit and are sustained by the fruit. And their fruit that they left and that they bore in their life is still seed that's bringing others to life. It's still germinating in the lives of other people. What has been taken into his own soul? We're a child of God. We're brought into God's kingdom. We're a tree, see? And What we take into our own soul from above and from around us mingles with His being, our being. And what I'm talking about is like the doctrines of God's Word. You come to church, somebody preaches to you the Bible, and they explain and expound and give you the understanding and help you to see. And there's food for your soul. You take it in. And it does things in you. That, like the tree drinks the water and the dew and out of the ground, and it takes all that into itself. And then something happens in there to produce the fruit. And that's the same way it is here. The doctrines of God's Word and the influences of God's Spirit and the lessons of nature and providence and just the experiences of this life under the sovereignty of God. Your experiences where you see that God keeps His Word, where God does things for you in your life and delivers you and helps you and meets your needs when you ain't got nowhere to get them from but Him. All those things are the ingredients that come into your life as a Christian. Are y'all with me at all? You see? And those are the things that bear fruit in your life. They make up the fruit. It's what the fruit's made of that comes out of your life. And so you see, people who are bitter and people who are full of negativity about everything, their fruit's going to be bitter or they're going to be barren. The fruit comes from God in your life. These things taken into our being are formed into holy thoughts and into precious words of truth and power. We read these little things that people write and you just, you know, I don't take them lightly anymore. I think about it and I think, you know, what in the world happened in that person's life for them to be able to put those words together like that and say that, that has such power and such depth to it. It's fruit. It's fruit. It's something that you give to somebody else, or somebody else just finds laying on the ground where it fell off of you, if you understand what I'm talking about. And they take it, and it's sustenance for them. It's sweet to their taste. It is strength to their soul. It's a seed that germinates in them and springs up to new life. And it transforms these things that are taken in into deeds of holiness and love. And these things refresh and encourage the hearts of others. And they become the germs of life in others. Like fruit carries a seed of life. Also, all of it does. All fruit has a seed in it. Well, you like seedless watermelon, don't you? We like seedless grapes. We like seedless oranges. But boy, that ain't really, that's kind of a bad thing when you think about it, ain't it? It's kind of a, no. And it's kind of, seems like it's just kind of contrary to God's way. Oh, I know it's convenient for us and all of that, but it's not natural. It's not God's way. All fruit has a seed in it. Fruitfulness can only be attained when everything is available and working properly in a life. That's why you can't skip church and skip the Bible and skip praying and skip doing good things for other people and being kind and all of this. You can't skip all this and be fruitful. Everything's got to work. To be fruitful, all the functions of a tree has to be in a healthy and vigorous state. Its roots have to be drawn from beneath the nourishment that it needs. And its leaves have to be drinking in the sunshine. And the sap has to run freely through the trunk and the branch and the leaf. You know how to kill a tree? Just cut around it. You cut it off. You cut the arteries that where it flows, it dies. No fruit. You call that ringing a tree. You just take a chainsaw and go around it and it's dead. You don't have to cut it down. It'll fall down eventually. You cut off its life flow. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is just cut yourself off from your life flow, which is Christ. But you can also do that by just not coming to church, not reading your Bible, not having anything to do. And of course, you're going to do that. See, you're not going to do that unless you cut off the artery to Christ first. You're not abiding in the vine if you don't come to church. I don't believe a word of that. These people says, you don't have to go to church. I don't have to go to church. I can worship God down here at the lake or on the creek fishing on Sunday morning. You're a goofball. You ain't right. That ain't true. You can't survive that way. You ain't going to tell me that you're in tune with Christ and you're abiding in Christ and you're abiding in the vine and you can't even get to the house of God and you don't want to. Now, the Bible's contrary to that. He's contrary to you if you believe that kind of junk. Yes, sir. Oh, well, get off on that. But anyway, it has to be working. If all this is in full and healthy play, the energies of that tree is not going to be wasted in excessive growth of limbs and stuff. I mean, it's just not going to grow a bunch of pretty limbs and full sprays of greenery. That's not what the tree's there for. The tree's there to bear fruit. That's right. My grandpa always told me about potatoes. He said they had a saying. He knew growing up, said if it's all tops, no bottoms. In other words, if they grow up there big and bushy and pretty, ain't going to be many potatoes. Because it's using all of its strength and all that it absorbs from the ground to produce that big, bushy top that everybody can see. And it looks so pretty. And everybody goes by and says, well, look at them potatoes. Well, you ain't looking at potatoes. You're looking at limbs and leaves. But what's unseen is the fruit, which is going to be little. That's probably right. It's that way with everything. That's why you prune a tree. That's why that he says he purges the branch that bears fruit. Because you know what's going to happen if you don't? You get a bunch of limbs and stuff. And so much of the strength and the what the tree has that it draws out of the soil, all of its life-given stuff is given to produce the branches and keep them alive. It's the same way with us and our body, too. You know, I mean, the bigger we get, the more it takes to sustain. And so it's not to sustain our life, it's to sustain all the extra that we got. And that's the way it is with a tree, see, or a vine, or anything that's producing fruit like that. You have to, I mean, it has to be cut back. And then whatever it gets goes to where? Fruit. It can produce the fruit. Yeah. Simple, simple logic and truth. What qualities must our souls possess in order to be fruitful? All right, well, here they are. You ready? This is going to surprise you. Virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. The verse says it very plainly. If these things are in you, it'll cause you, it'll make you not to be barren or unfruitful. These things right here. If they're added to your faith, you're not going to be unfruitful. These are the things that you must have to bear fruit. These qualities impart to our soul a stability and a vitality, a life active, which not only preserve our life in droughts in the summer, and cold winds of the winter in the church. You understand what I'm talking about? There's times in the church when it's a drought. There's times in the church when it's wintertime, buddy. Cold as ice. You've heard about skating down the aisles and stuff like that. Church's so cold. There's times when the church is, everything's wonderful and the climate is good and the atmosphere is wonderful. And then there's times when it is cold and icy. There's times when it's just dry. And thirsty, everybody's thirsty. This life, these qualities that I just read to you, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity, they will sustain your soul through all that, no matter what happens. The hypocrites, I've heard this for years, you know, the hypocrites can stay in a church as long as everything's lively and going, but it's the wintertime in church that the hypocrites can't stand. They'll leave. You can get rid of them in the wintertime when it's hard times in church because they ain't got nothing to live on. And they ain't got no reserve. They ain't got no place to draw strength from. But we do if we have these qualities. It makes our life a blessing to others and a seed of hope to those who are still in the darkness of sin. The barren life will just have the opposite influence on others. The life that's lived only consuming and not producing. I'm talking about the hypocrite, the Pharisee, the puffed up in knowledge, and the brawler that claims to be a Christian. Their fruit, it's going to have the opposite effect. See, the person who's got these things and who is fruitful, they're an encouragement to other people, to draw strength from. And when times are hard, people look to them and their memory. The thought of them strengthens their heart. The thought of their faith, their faithfulness, their virtue, their knowledge, their temperance, their patience, their godliness, their charity, their brotherly kindness. It encourages them to go on. We've all got people like that in our life. I mean, I can think of people through the years of my life that all I got to do is just think about them and it just makes me smile inside and think, well, just go on. Yeah. It encourages me. It strengthens me. That's fruit from their life. See, it's the influence. It's their words, their works, their influence. And it goes on even after they're dead. That's why Abel, being dead, yet speaketh. What we do with our life and the fruit of our soul, the fruit of our being a Christian, doesn't die when this body dies and they put us in the ground. It goes right on to speaking. Still, it goes right on to influencing. And so that's what we're after. That's what we're looking at. And this is what we ought to be diligent, do diligence to make our election and calling sure. I mean, all of us ought to look at ourselves and say, what is the influence of my life? What am I known by? What do other people honestly think of me? By the things I've done, by the things I do, by the things I say. What do other people really think of me? How does my life affect other people? How does my faith affect other people? The influence of these barren people will make others despise religion and have a totally wrong idea of what it's all about. It's these people in the church that makes the church the scoffing of the world, makes them scoff at us. I've heard it so many times, you know, well, I'm as good as anybody that goes up to that church. I won't go up here with that bunch of hypocrites. Why would they think that? How could they possibly think that about a real Christian who's fruitful, who has these qualities, virtue and knowledge and all of this? Why? How could they possibly think that? Well, they wouldn't if they knew somebody like that. But what they know are the people in the church who are barren and unfruitful. And they judge us all by those. All right, now these graces that we're instructed to add to our faith are necessary to the bearing of fruit in our life. A person who's lacking these things and has no resolve to pursue them in his life has no reason to call himself a Christian. I keep saying these things over and over. We just keep reading them over and over. Been preaching on it for weeks now. But I'm telling you, here this morning, you better get this. If you won't examine yourself honestly to see if these are in you, and if you really, it's not important to you, or if you judge yourself compared to other people in all of these matters, you got no right or hope or reason to call yourself a Christian. Now, amen. That's just the way it is. If you don't have these things, you are blind. And you can't see afar off. And you don't even see what your life is going to result in. You don't see what the result of your actions, your words, and your influence is going to be. And you need to take that to heart this morning. A person who's liking these things has no reason to call himself a Christian. Now, all of these graces can be imitated. You can pretend to be virtuous. You can pretend to have knowledge. You can pretend all of these things. Yes. You can pretend to be temperate. Oh, I've seen people do that a lot. Around certain people, they'll be real calm. But take away that influence, that restraint, and man, there ain't no temperance, man. They're cut loose. Yep. So you can fake it all. You can fake them all. I've known a lot of people, they fake godliness. They fake brotherly kindness. They fake charity. You can fake them all. You know, if you're missing one of these, you know, the Bible talks about if you transgress in the law in one point, you're guilty of all. Well, it's kind of like that with this. If you're lacking one of these consistently, positively, it's not in your life. It ain't never been there. It ain't looking like it's ever going to be there. I mean, it's just something's missing. It proves that you're faking all the rest. Yep, sure does. All right, it's also like this. I looked at this and got to count, and I thought, man, this is kind of neat. Faith is the director, and all of these seven graces are like the seven notes of the musical scale. You know, isn't it funny? There's seven of them. Did you count them? Seven of them. There's seven notes in a music scale. Ain't that right? Yeah. Faith's the director. Now, faith directs the graces into a harmony that sings forth praise and glory to God from an obedient and loving soul. You know, music has to be organized. Now, you, like Dorothy, she likes to beat on the piano, but she can't make music yet. But if she ever learns, she can make that piano make music. It's one thing to just beat and bang around. You're hitting the notes, but they're all disorderly. And they're not in harmony. It's not working like it's supposed to. See? Noise is one thing. Music is another thing. Music has order. Music has melody, harmony, and rhythm. It's orderly. And it works like it's supposed to. And there has to be somebody do that with music. Something has to organize it and work it and cause it to work like it's supposed to, or you don't have music, you have noise. You have tuneless discord and noise that is not pleasant to hear. Faith directs. If one note is missing or out of place, faith itself appears defective and the soul is out of tune. So, you know, I've watched these things, and y'all ought to watch some of this too. Sometimes I take for granted. I forget how young y'all are and how many things you've never seen, heard, or whatever. But I've got these things that we watched years ago about music and stuff, and it does you good to learn some things about it. But I'll give it to you if you'll listen to it. It's a lot of neat stuff in it. But one of the things was he would play the piano, and he'd hit just one finger and hit the notes. And you know how it is, if one note's not in place, you just know. If one note's missing, you know it's incomplete, don't you? You remember, what was the cartoon, you know, was it Bugs Bunny, was it, da-da-da-da-da. And that last note, he wouldn't play it. And was it Yosemite Sam? Yeah, he'd hit the wrong note. And he said, no! And it works in your soul the same way, don't it? If one note's wrong, you just can't, oh no! Or if one note at the end is not played, I mean, it's incomplete. You need to finish that. Hit that last note. Do you get it? All of these things must be in us. And it's our faith that directs them. Add these to your faith. And if it's not there, if you're missing a note, did you ever try to play a piano where some of the keys didn't work? How's that, Esther? It's very frustrating. Gary raised his hand. I've said it before, but we was in Mexico, and we went to church, and they said, we want you to sing. And I said, well, I ain't got my guitar. And they said, well, we got one, but it's only got 5 strings. And I couldn't play that thing. It just don't work. You know, I tried, and I said, no, this just ain't no, you're missing a string. You can't have a guitar with a string missing. Man, can't do that. Well, you can't have your... You can't be a Christian. And you certainly can't be a fruitful Christian unless these things are in your life. They're directed by your faith in God. And they're working properly and in order. Now, that's just simple, but that is so... You need to think about that. All that we're told to add to our faith is necessary for the germination, the coming to life of faith in other people. Now, see... We're to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. The faith that I have now is the same faith. There's one faith, one baptism, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's one faith. It's not a bunch of different kinds. And the faith that I have this morning is the same faith that Paul had. He believed the same thing. Same faith in God that produced the same things in his life. Ought to produce them in mine, ought to produce them in yours. If you've got the same faith. And where did my faith come from? Well, God don't give us our faith. If we're to earnestly contend for the faith, where does our faith come from? Well, the Bible tells it real clearly. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then it goes on to tell us how they're going to believe in him who they've not heard, and how they're going to hear without a preacher. How does faith spread from person to person? By example and influence. How does faith operate in this right here? Add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance. These 7 things, we're told. They go with faith, and it's a bundle deal. Yet faith won't work without these. Faith is Without works is dead. Faith without these is dead also. It's not going to work. It's not going to be fruitful. And it's not the right faith if it don't. It's not the right kind of faith. It's not saving faith if it don't produce fruit. And I mean fruitfulness. Since it's necessary for fruitfulness, then it's necessary for producing seed also. Seed that remains after the original tree's been long, long gone. I seen where they dug up. I read where they dug up over there in Israel some walnuts that had been buried for 2,000 years. And they planted them and they grew. How about that? Now the tree that produced that walnut is long, long gone back to dust. But the seed remained. And so the life continues. And that's the way it is. Why, in 40, 50 years, probably, of course, we got some younger ones here. Let's just say 100 years. It'll be less than 100 years. There won't be not a one of us that are here this morning hearing my voice. There ain't going to be none of us on the face of this earth. We're going to be dust. We're going to be gone. But whatever we do, is there anything that I'm going to leave behind that's still going to be speaking? Is it going to make any difference that I lived on this earth? If the Lord don't come, there'll be people living here. Will there be any wells that I've dug for them to drink from? Will there be any seed that I've sown that'll make any difference in the world after I'm gone? That's fruitfulness. And it's part of being a Christian. There's no Christian that's ever lived on the face of this earth that didn't make a difference in the world after he was gone. Because Christians bear fruit. And the fruit remains. And the fruit has seed in it. And the fruit is picked up by somebody. And it goes on. A true Christian may fail occasionally in some of these graces or appear to be lacking in them from time to time. But there should be progress in his life in these things that is obvious for others to see and for himself to see if he will honestly examine himself. That you ought to see progress. You can take comfort this morning in your own Christian profession if you can really honestly look in your life and say, well, you know, I may lack, but I can see where I've made progress in these from where I was a year ago, 5 years ago. But if you can honestly look at yourself and you're the same deal as you were a year ago, 5 years ago, you've got reason for concern about the state of your soul and the standing of your soul before God. And I'm telling you. And that's why it says you better do diligence to make your calling and election sure. Make sure that you're really the real deal. And how can you tell? Because there'll be fruit in your life. Yes. I mean, you'll be able to look around and think a little bit and see that there is some influence toward God in your life. Are you pointing people away from God? Are you leading people away from God? Is your influence causing other people to say, well, I ain't no need in fooling with that? Are you diminishing the interest that other people might have in God, in church, by your life, by your words, by your works, by your influence? So after years as a professing Christian, and some or all of these are missing from his faith, then why should he be considered a true Christian? Why should we consider somebody a Christian if we can look at them and after years of knowing them, we can obviously see that some or all of these things are missing out of their life? You tell me why I ought to think they're a Christian. Because they come to the altar and made their profession of faith. They asked Jesus to come into their heart and then they got baptized. I ought to believe they're saved because of that? No, that ain't what the Bible teaches at all. No, sir. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Fruitfulness. It ain't something that we brag about. It ain't something we boast in or that we're proud of. If there is any fruit in our life, it's not going to make us proud. It's going to make us thankful and praise to God. That's what it'll do to us. Really, honestly. It won't puff us up or make us proud or think, boy, I've got her down now. I'm something. Go on a tour preaching in churches about what God's done in my life. I ain't going to do that. The fruitful Christians are what a lot of people consider to be nobodies. Because God takes, just like Brother Roberto preached last Sunday, the little boy's lunch. He takes little and makes much. That's what he does. It's the little. A seed's awful little. You don't find very many big seeds. They're all little compared to everything else. They're small things. And that's what God uses to produce the most fruit, the small things. So I must decrease, so he must increase. That's the way it works, eh? Check yourself. Be concerned about this matter. Really. Where's the fruit? It's in your words, it's in your works, and it's in your influence over in other people's lives. Look at that. Just look at that honestly for yourself. I mean, don't look at everybody else. Don't be thinking about somebody else. Ain't your business. Your business is you. My business is me. And my business is to tell you about this and warn you. Don't belittle yourself because you don't see a lot. Just remember, if you're on the positive or the negative, man, are you adding to or are you taking from? Amen. Let's stand. Very good. Right at 12 o'clock. Amen. All right, well, let's bow our heads and we'll have a word of prayer. I'll tell you what, you need to think about it. Think about it. This is really good stuff to me. Really has helped me. All these things do. You know, I don't know. Sometimes I think everybody ought to have to preach. It'd cause you to study a little more. Cause you to put things together and dig a little deeper in your own heart and life. Boy, it'd sure help you to understand. I don't know. It sure does help me. I learn things from this stuff. Then I look at my own life and I do some weeding and some cultivating and stuff and fertilizing and pull out some weeds and throw them out. Say, nope, that don't belong here no more. All right, Father, we thank you for your word and we thank you for the truths we've looked at today. And Lord, we thank you for showing them to us and giving us an understanding here that didn't have really as clearly before. Pray you'd help each one here this morning to take it now and apply it in their own life. I pray we wouldn't go out of here and just let it fall as we walk out the door. And Lord, please, I pray that the thing planted this morning would bring forth in our life. And Lord, help us to be fruitful, to have an influence. People like the folks here, maybe they get discouraged because there's not very many of us here. But I pray you'd encourage their hearts in this matter here, because the few with a good influence over others is much better than the many who have no influence or are an evil influence. Please help us, Lord, to live our lives in view of all these things and of the judgment that's coming when we stand before you to give account of what we've done in this body. Pray you go with us now and work in our hearts. Pray you bring us back tonight safely. And I pray for the service. Pray the message tonight. It is important also. And I pray it be understood and listened to. Pray you bless the day now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.